on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Singing is sitting 3 feet from me. Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Kogan. Sounds pretty good. I've listened to the CD all day, so I know how good it sounds. That is your, well, you are Johnny Bash. Is that your real name?
Yes,
it is. It's such a cool name. It sounds like a character that Elvis would play in some kind of movie, right?
It's I am blessed, I guess.
you are blessed with a great stage name. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rick.
You grew up, you're a child of Champaign.
Yes.
College town, one of the great college towns in the world.
Right.
When did music come into your life in a serious way? Did your parents play records? What was the deal?
Well, basically, I was doing musicals in high school and summer stock.
What appealed to you about music? I mean, what got you into it? Did you sing in the shower? Did you sing in...
I sang in church to start with.
Oh, wow.
As a teen.
In a choir.
Yeah. And then went on from there to do shows in junior high and high school. And then during the summer, went to work summer stock theater at the little theater on the square in Sullivan, Illinois.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why? What was it about? I mean... You know, everybody, kids are always drawn to something. Was it your sort of a natural passion for you, do you think?
I think natural is the right word. It just kind of flowed. I was doing junior high stuff, and one of my aunts saw an ad for the little theater auditioning for this part in Critics' Choice of a 12-year-old. And so I went down and auditioned, and I got the part. And then I worked there a few summers.
Well, there's nothing like applause either. You sort of
there's nothing like
to turn
applause.
The mind. Were you a good natural singer?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was. We did in high school in a cappella choir.
Yeah.
We did a medley of Porgy and Bess.
Oh.
And I did Sport and Life. I did It Ain't Necessarily
Wow.
So.
Wow.
And I copied Cab Calloway.
Not Sammy
Davis. I mean, you
Jr.
know,
Cab
Calloway was actually on the film album.
Was he really?
Yes, because there was a contract something with Sammy Davis Jr. But, I'm a teenager.
You don't know.
What do you do? I mean, I'm just going to copy the guy that does it the best, and he did it the best to me.
So by the time you got out of high school then, were you totally hooked on musical theater?
Yeah, pretty much. Uh-huh.
I mean, did you say to your parents, hey, this is going to be my career? Or how did you see it fitting into your life as anything? Because it's easy when you're in high school. It's like a hobby.
Well, I went to college, and I didn't do well in college because I was just too distracted. And
what did you go to college to study? What was your notion?
Theater.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I was too distracted.
By
college life and getting into a fraternity. And I was lost. I did not feel comfortable in college, and I dropped below a full load, and they made me 1A. So I went and joined the Navy because I didn't want to be behind a gun.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So I was in the Navy for 3 years and 10 months, and I was
there. Where were you stationed?
My last was Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Yeah.
I was on a ship. For 17 months in the Gulf
job?
Of Tonkin.
What job?
Air traffic control.
That must have been scary. I mean, I know you're not a ground troop there, but that was a scary time.
Well, we weren't in danger because the North Vietnamese
didn't have the kind of
the danger that we faced was our own planes when they would not function correctly, and one guy came down and hit the back of the ship and exploded.
Ugh.
And it was pretty tense because, you know, there had been other fires on other ships that totally destroyed them.
Getting out of the you did, though, while you were in the Navy, you joined a choir?
I went to basic, a
relatively prestigious choir, was it not?
Well, I went to basic training in Great Lakes and got off the bus. And, you know, there.
Were you scared?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was scared. I was 20.
Wow. Uh-huh. Wow. And so you got off the bus and started singing, and they said, hey, come join us. You'd be great.
Well, they did. They said, okay, anybody who wants to audition for Blue Jackets Choir or Drum and Bugle Corps, over here. Bingo.
Wow.
It's the Blue Jackets Choir. There's a term in the Navy, skated.
Yeah.
We skated because we didn't have to do mess duty, drill duty, nothing.
And just were some of the people in the Blue Jackets Choir not very good singers?
Oh, no, babe. Everybody's pretty good.
Really?
Because you had to audition. And then our barracks was with Drum and Bugle Corps, so it was all musicians.
Wow.
Which made it cool.
Why did you get sent to Vietnam then?
Well, you have to at least
serve.
Yeah. And you're in the Navy, you're at least probably going to be on the ship for some time.
Did this Blue Jackets Choir, forgive me for digging so deeply into mm-hmm. your past, but I'm fascinated by this. This Blue Jackets Choir, did you perform at various places? Did you perform places other than the Great Lakes?
Yes, we performed at the graduation ceremonies at Great Lakes.
Oh, neat.
And we also, if I'm recalling correctly, we also went outside of Great Lakes and performed at VFW halls and different
churches.
I think we were at a church once.
Interesting. So you muster out and you decide what at that point?
Well, the thing with it, towards the end of basic training, you go to before a counselor, and the counselor says, well, what do you want to do in the Navy? And I said, I don't know.
I don't want to be in the Navy.
I'm a theater major, you know. I'm an actor and a singer.
Yeah. Wait, I don't want to be in the Navy anymore.
You know,
why are you asking me
this? Send me to Washington to be in the choir there, but they didn't. And the guy said, you have a good aptitude for air traffic control. That's where I'm putting you. And I was lucky because the air traffic controllers were considered – They were
the smart guys.
Well, the smart guys, and we've got the pilots, you know, in our hands. Basically.
Sure. When did you get out?
I got out December of 71.
And then what did you decide to do?
Came directly to Chicago New Year's Eve Day.
We are talking with Johnny Bash. You can find out more about him at Johnny Bash. That's JohnnyBash.biz. I've never seen a .biz thing, but it's a nice website. We're going to take
a
break. We're going to come back, and we're going to listen to him sing. Aubrey Mumpower, when we come back, let's hear Town Without Pity, because I haven't heard that in a long time. This is from his new album, Something New in My Life. Welcome back. We are talking this entire hour and listening to Johnny Bash. He's had a very interesting career. We're barely touched on his career. We've got him out of the Navy and back in Chicago. But flipping ahead a few decades, his first CD is out and available. Something New in My Life. Here from that CD is Town Without Pity.
Many problems. We need an order. can anything survive when these little minds tear you in two? What a town without pity can do.
That is a lavishly produced number, Town Without Pity.
Thank you.
Gene Pitney song by Johnny Bash from his new and first CD, Something New in My Life. Johnny, so you come back from the Navy. You really still want to be in theater and musical theater, and you begin studying, do you not?
Yes.
While doing a variety of other kinds of jobs. You're a waiter,
DJ,
a clothing store. You worked as a DJ for a little while at the legendary Bistro, which was not far from where we're sitting now in the Tribune Tower.
Right.
Was it hard? That's a grind. I mean, when you're trying to break in the music scene and you still believe you needed more sort of expertise. You enrolled in Columbia College. You took lessons from one of the most legendary musicians in the history of this town, Bill Russo.
Yes.
What was that like?
It was a class, and basically one of the things I learned from Bill was the importance of lyrics. Music, yes, but the importance of lyrics and how and why lyrics are written.
Yeah.
And that really, for an actor, which was probably more my base than singing.
Sure.
At the time.
Sure.
For an actor is extremely important to tell the story.
Then, and I hate to move through this so quickly because it's so fascinating, you always had, you're an entrepreneur, I think you're a born entrepreneur, and you started this thing called Music Express Chicago,
mm-hmm.
because you needed basically to make a living, right? But you also wanted to stay in the business, right?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
What is Music Express Chicago?
It was I used pre-recorded music for soundtracks for industrials, fashion shows, anything that would need pre-recorded music rather than original music.
And you did that successfully for quite some time.
Uh-huh. Yes.
How long?
I think about 5 years.
And then you were kind of drawn back to the performing end of this whole thing. Yes.
Right. I went off and I did. Well, actually, so from that and from my DJ experience, I did theater sound design. So I worked for a theater company,
yeah.
and I designed the sound for 5 of their shows.
Wow. What company?
Special effects. And,
oh, wow.
It was Brian Posen's company.
Yeah, sure.
You know Brian?
Sure. Yes, I do. Yes,
yeah.
We have about a million different friends in common. What happened then? You started feeling confident enough to go out and do the open mic scene, which I think is kind of terrifying.
Yes. What I did was I started studying with coaches. In 2000,
mm-hmm.
2001.
Yeah.
And I just stayed with different coaches. And the last coach I've had, Phil Caldwell at Sherwood, which is now owned by Columbia College.
Sure.
He's really a musical theater coach.
Yeah.
And that's my background.
Sure it is.
So I want to get that into my songs.
Interesting.
I want expression
you
in
You want
my
that
song.
Theatrical element then in your music.
Yeah.
When did you pull the trigger for this CD must have been sometime in the making, because it is one of those classic, it's a big collaborative effort, is it not?
It is. We started in basically April of 2015.
Wow.
And it was released October 30th.
Wow.
And there's been some time in there to kind of let it sit. I don't know if that's the right expression.
Yeah, sure.
Because we want it out there, but yet at the same time, we want it out there the right way.
Right. Have you done a CD release party? Have you
performed? Not yet.
When are you doing that?
Well, that's
and
a
where
good,
are you doing
good
that?
Good question, because my musicians, you know, it's trying to get all my musicians together. I would really like to have all 13 of them at this
wow.
release.
Wow.
That's my goal.
You do now, Johnny, you do feel kind of a part of the whole Chicago cabaret musical theater community, don't you?
I do. I've sung at you mentioned open mics.
Sure.
That I studied with Mark Burnell from Chicago
sure.
Cabaret Professionals, and Mark
and his
one
lovely
of his,
wife Anne.
Yes, great people, talented.
No question.
And Mark's one of his points to me was, before you record, go out and sing the songs.
And that's wise, don't you think?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I did. I sang with Mark at his open mics. And then
Pedarino's Monday night.
Pedarino's with Becky and Denise, Becky Mincy and Denise McGowan Tracy. And every week at Troquet Bistro with Bob Sloan.
See, Bob Sloan is one of the treasures of the Chicago music
treasures.
Scene. Has he helped nurture you?
Absolutely.
And perfect.
He picked Crying.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He said, you need to do Crying.
Well, we're going to hear some more from my guest, Johnny Bash, who's first had a fascinating backstory in his life, and he's now coming out with his first CD, which is a very, very, I must tell you, high-quality CD. When anybody who's familiar with the Chicago music scene sees the people involved, and we'll talk about them because we have another whole half hour. And after the news, what song? I'm going to let you, performer, pick a song.
Okay.
What song do you want the listeners to hear? See, Crying is an interesting song. And then we'll talk about why you pick these songs. Crying is a very interesting song. This is some mix on a clear day. You call it now, and Aubrey Mumpower, the great engineer, will play it when we come out of the news.
I think we should do Crying.
Aubrey, when we come out of the news, we're going to go straight to Crying without me. I'll introduce.
Everybody at Troquet wanted to hear that every week.
You're kidding.
Every week.
The most popular Johnny Bash song, Crying. So you'll get to listen to that. Here is Johnny Bash with Crying.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. But then I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight when you stopped to say hello. Oh, you wished me well. You couldn't tell that I'd been crying over you, crying over you. Then you said so long, left me standing all alone, alone and crying, crying, crying. It's hard to understand that the touch of your hand can start me crying. I thought that I was over you, but it's true, oh, so true. I love you. Oh,
Wow. I'm exhausted just listening to that, Johnny Bash. That was Johnny from his new CD, Crying. It is one of 10 cuts on the new CD. When you, Johnny, with all of your experience in music and theater and recording and engineering and DJing and listening and all of that, when you decide what 10 cuts to put on this CD, what drives you? What aesthetic force drives you?
Well, let me give you a little more background. I was singing at Troquet with Bob Sloan every week.
Yeah.
And Bill Demas was always with Bob on guitar. And I had not known Bill that long. And Bill came up to me after a few months and he said, "So, hey, kid, when are you going to do the CD?" And I'm like, yeah.
Had it never occurred to you?
Oh, yeah. It was like, okay, somebody's putting it in front of me.
Yeah.
And so I said, maybe now. He said, "Well, I've got the guy for you." The guy?
Yeah, who's the guy?
Who's the guy? He said, "Freddie Breitberg." And he is he's your engineer. So we went and had lunch. We started. These two guys have been in the business for 40 years. Mm-hmm. Freddie Breitberg was at Chess Records back in the day. He has been engineer for major, major people, including Aretha Franklin.
Oh, wow.
And Bill has produced and done his own CDs. And so we started looking at songs, and I would play songs for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Crying had to be on the album because so many people loved the way I did it.
Sure.
And then, you know, it's like I wanted to do an homage to Roy Orbison and the people, Since I Fell for You, Town Without Pity.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, one of the interesting things about you, Johnny Bash, and the CD is all of these songs, to my mind, give you the ability to bring a theatrical presentation to the music, correct?
I hope so.
I know you hope so, but that had to be part of your...
Oh, it was.
...with your background and aim, that these songs are inherently theatrical.
Yeah. Yes, they are. They are. So Bill and Freddie and I just... I started picking songs. There's one original on the CD, "Love Will Come to You" by Steve Strompolos and Steve Rucker, friends of Bill's, and he knew of the song, and so he got the song from them. Thank you very much, Steve and Steve. And that's the original on the song on the CD. "We Are in Love," Harry Connick Jr. I saw him in the 90s, and he did that song in his show, and I'm like, who wrote that great old song? And I looked it up, and he wrote it.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I got to do that song.
Well, in a way, too, this is a sort of grand homage to the Great American Songbook, too. There's no question about that, even though some of these are quite, quite contemporary. When you finally got in the studio and you had a lot of people, you can, if you want to, Johnny Bash, read the names of the collaborators if you want to get them on the record, because you gathered some of the best musicians, certainly in the city, if not the country.
Okay. Well, of course, Bill Demas, my producer on guitars and bass, Dave Rice on piano and keyboards, Jeffrey Lowe on Fender and upright bass, Larry Ortega, my drummer, Alejo Poveda on percussion, Steve Eisen on sax, Rajiv Halim on soprano sax, Gina Masland, a dear, dear old friend of ours, on piano on When October Goes.
Yeah.
Plays it beautifully. And then I had three violinists and a viola player, Jennifer Lowe, Ariana Moravec, Inger Carl and Dominic Johnson, and then another person that I would sing with at Monsignor Murphy's. They would trade off between Bob Sloan and Marshall Nelson.
Yeah,
and so we brought Marshall in to do some keyboards and some synth on Something New in My Life.
So you really went. I mean, there are many ways to make CDs, and one can go the small way. and the large way. You're happy. You could not. I mean, you must have at some point said, "Wait, do we really need a saxophone? Do we really?" You know what I mean? That whole dynamic when you're deciding who you need on the album, you decided to go big, right?
Well, that was basically Freddie and Bill.
Yeah.
They said, "If you're going to do it, do it." And Freddie said the term he used, commercially successful CD. That was the key, that we wanted to do something that would reach out and would people would want to hear.
Yeah, well, I agree. But you also know, young man, that you have to go out and sing. And you got to go out and do it. Now, where are you singing now?
Well, I've taken a break.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wanting to get back to some of the open mics. But yet at the same time, we're starting to work on more songs. The thing that we're going to do is we're going to record a song.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put it out there because now that you can do that.
Yeah, I know. The whole business has changed so since I were kids. It's so totally different.
CD Baby, Disc Makers made my CDs. And CD Baby is a part of Disc Makers, and they're one of the biggest distributors. And my CDs distributed to Amazon, iTunes, Rhapsody, Spotify. But wait, I don't think it's on Rhapsody yet.
Now, can people get this at your website? Can they do that too?
They
or no?
will be able to, but actually, they can go
to Amazon. Yeah,
go to Amazon or go to cdbaby.com to actually purchase the physical CD and have it sent to you.
Wow. What an unusual
but otherwise,
thing.
You can download.
You can download any song
yeah,
you like.
You can download.
You will, ladies and gentlemen, hear another song or two after we get a little commercial break in here, and I'm keeping Johnny Bash all the way till the end. Go to his website. It's a website that is a building. It's an organic thing. It will be much fuller.
Right.
And
they can see me. They can actually see and hear me do crying at Troquet.
Oh, okay.
That's one video that's on there.
That's it. You go to Johnny Bash. Which is not a stage name. It's a cool name, and it works. johnnybash.biz. We will be right back, and you'll hear some more music. Welcome back. We have a few more minutes with Johnny Bash, and I hope you've been listening to the whole hour about his fascinating history, his early dive into the world of musical theater when he was a kid, then his singing with the Blue Jackets Choir for the U.S. Navy, his time in the Navy, his time being in the Gulf of Tonkin, and then coming back here, getting into the disco scene at the Bistro. Any of you out there remember the Bistro, know what that laugh is about. What a wild place that was in its time. And then starting his own company called Music Express Chicago, and then getting back into the business of singing. And then collaborating with a number of Chicago's finest performers on his first CD, Johnny Bash, Something New in My Life. Johnny, once you dove into the world of Chicago singers and cabaret performers, I don't think people realize how nurturing there does not seem. I've had many, many on the show, and There doesn't seem to be the kind of jealousy that one normally associates with almost any other business. Is that true? Have you found that to be true?
I think it's true. Yeah. I think Chicago is a very nurturing town. I think Chicago Cabaret Professionals is a nurturing organization. Elizabeth Doyle has been a huge support person for me. She invited me, along with Trish Kaporis, to do Strut Your Stuff at Davenport's, where five singers get up and perform three songs each.
Oh, wow. How did that go?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. And Trish did it with me. We sang separately.
Right.
But that was a great experience. And then Denise Tomasello, I have to mention Denise. Denise has been such a huge supporter of mine also.
That's great.
She would come into Troquet, and that's the first time she'd ever heard me sing. And it was so cool. And she was the headliner at Acorn for their gala.
Sure. The Acorn Theater. That's a place. I don't know if David Fink is listening, but David should book you in there for a concert, man. I think that's a great location.
It is.
David knows that kind of music. And
it's a beautiful theater.
Denise, I go so far back with Denise Tomasello, I gave her first review.
Wow.
And that, Johnny, is far back. What's next? I mean, you want to get the word out about your CD. There's no question about that. And you certainly want to sell some copies of your CD. But that's an arduous road. Are you now, you must feel, having created this thing, Johnny Bash, incredibly empowered, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I do. The recording part is the really fun part. Now is the really work part of getting it promoted. I'm talking currently with a promoter in Los Angeles, and just started talking with him. So, I have this great team of people, Bill Demas and Freddie Breitberg, and another one of my dearest friends who's been a producer on this, Jack Brasino, and then my project manager and creative consultant, Ann Jenkins. And, you know, they're a team, but it's really up to me.
Yeah, no question.
I'm the one that's got to put my face in.
No, but it's also, the thing about it, it's very nice to have a team, too, because there are ups and downs
on
the road you're following. It's very nice to have that kind of supportive kind of team. It's like you're back in the Navy again or something. You know what I mean?
Especially Bill Demas and Freddie Breitberg. They are key.
They're the ones who didn't push you into doing this. They inspired you, right?
Exactly. That's the best way to put it. Inspired you. That's the word. Encouraged, inspired. And I want to go further with them. So we're going to do another song. We don't know which one for sure yet right now, but we're going to do another song. We're going to record it and just put it out there.
Yeah, that's one of the sort of advantages of this new age that we are in.
It is.
You can continue to do it that way. You don't have to get, you know, 10 songs together and 13 musicians every time you want to do something.
Exactly. And you can do a song, and then it can become a song. You know, do another one and then work towards an album.
Yeah.
Before we go any further, speaking of promotion, I have to mention my longtime dear friend, David Aaron.
Sure.
David has
mentioned anybody you want.
David has promoted me forever, 30 years, and has always believed in my talent. And he's another reason here doing this.
Obviously, Johnny, there are a lot of people who believe in your talent, myself among them. I'm going to let you go now. You don't live far. You'll be able to get home not quite by the time the song is over. But I think I'll leave the listeners with Aubrey Mumpower. If it's okay with you, we're going to play the title track from Johnny Bash's first and certainly not last CD. It is titled Go to Johnny Bash, that's JohnnyBash.biz.
B-I-Z.
B-I-Z. For more information about him. And, Johnny, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Rick,
and good luck with
also.
Your career. You've had a fascinating,
fascinating Thank you so much. This is a huge boost.
I hope so.
Huge
I
boost.
Hope so.
I and certainly
any,
appreciate
any
it.
Any Navy kid is a good kid by me. Here is the title track from Johnny's new CD, Something New in My Life.
I guess I wanted something new in my life, a new key to fit a new door, to wake and see a different view in my life, the one I've been waiting for. Dreams, like everyone, I've had a few in my life. Who knew that this one would come true in my life? I knew the moment when you touched me. You touched me. You're like a sudden breeze that blew in my life. A new face, a new smile, a new song. And now I know I wanted you in my life all along. chance I had to take in my life. I found you and couldn't lose you. And all the difference that you've made in my life. Feelings I never knew. I guess I must have saved an empty place in my heart for you to come and fill this space in my heart that long before I said I loved you, I loved you. Whatever happens, this is true in my life. When all the springs have come and gone, whatever doors I may go through in my life, whatever else that I may do in my life, you'll always be the something new.
Nice song, Johnny Bash. Roger Badish just came in. It's always great to see Roger because we don't work in the same little office or cubicle or whatever it is up here. He came in to compliment Johnny on his version of Crying. What did you think of that? And that was spontaneous. And
that blew me away. I mean, that was just like...
Yeah, that's better than applause at Davenport.
Oh, man.
I mean, he came out of the newsroom.
Thank you, Roger.
He was lavish.
He was so moved.
He was lavish.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Moving people.
Yeah.
You know, whether
right.
It's laughing or crying or in between.
Well, it'd be horrible if you came in here sobbing. Well, you know, I mean, that was, Aubrey, you're okay, right? You're not crying, are you? Well, I want to, of course, thank all of you for listening. And, Johnny, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Rick.
You know, I'm glad we have a mutual friend in so many people, Denise Tomasello and Bob Salone. And you really are a part of the kind of cabaret community now here, and you have a new fan in Roger Badish. And
I
do. You're going to have to give him or sell him a CD.
Oh, I'm going to give him one, absolutely.
Johnny, I wish you all the success in the world. You've had a really fascinating career to this point, and it's only going to get better, and now you have a sort of team around you to help lift you up.
That's what you've done for me.
This is very modest.
Thank
Roger
so
Badish
much.
Will do more talking you up at various places he goes. I want to thank Elif Garris for producing, Aubrey Mumpower for paying all this music. Carl Amari will be coming up after the news, and especially need to thank all of you people for listening. There'd be no show if you didn't tune in. Next week, I think we have a one-hour show, and it will all be Megan McDonough, singer-songwriter Megan McDonough.